I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. Morning, everybody. Hope your Thursday, Friday is going good. It's our last show of the week. Having a blast today. We talk Subway sandwiches, Tiago Splitter, which, by the way, people pointing out, rightfully so, he didn't say anything in his press conference.
I know he wrote the letter.
He had the letter.
I know that. I'm not even trying to take a shot at him for doing it.
That idea that he didn't thank anything. He thanked everyone in the organization, the daily dedication from
We didn't read the letter. I apologize. I was noting he didn't want to talk about the cheapness stuff.
Right.
Didn't also choose to say, thanks again out there to the Trailblazers.
There's also the balance of, you moved on to a new job, and if I'm a Chicago fan, if we hired a coach who would been a head coach somewhere else, I don't care what they, if we hired Jason Kidd right now, for example, who's available.
Oh, I don't think anybody here or in Chicago cares about him.
Because I want to hear about Jason Kidd's idea on what he's going to do to help us and blah, blah,
I totally get it.
That's a whole other angle of it that I find funny. I did chuckle with Splitter's statement, though, that I think sums up how all this is a bit hilarious to me. Portland, these have been great months. That's how the letter starts. As if he's been some
you've been so
tenured head coach,
my family.
Terry Stotts for a decade. Then we just let how did we let him slip through the cracks?
I do love that part. You've been so great to me and my family, and I'm always like, does anybody even see you? You're a coach. You guys work stupid hours.
You've been so nice to me since last July. And now I move on.
I almost wish they just say what they really want to say. I'd like to thank the Bridgeport community because every time I left the facility to get something to eat, you guys were all delightful when you saw me.
My kind neighbors in Lake Oswego left me alone and didn't bother me after a tough loss and didn't talk to me when I was standing in line in the coffee shop. Man. So a correction there because we talked a little Tiago Splitter earlier on in the show. That's a good one. That's a good
what
one.
What in the hell? Where is that? Oh, disgust sigh.
That's a good one. What am I doing when making that noise? The second the nut hits my lip, I spit it out.
What do you think of?
Is it am I on the toilet?
No.
Am I with my wife?
No, you're with your wife. Her poor ears. There's heavy breathing and then... Stop. Let it stop.
You sound like a dead bug.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Oh, that's a good new drop. Well done, Brandon. We have a lot to get to in the next 2 hours of the show. Our buddy Steve Pfeiffer will join us in about 30 minutes, 25 minutes, somewhere in that range.
What is that?
I don't know. What were we even talking about? What did I make that noise for? Do you even remember? It was the last segment.
I think you were mad about Minks talking about
Spurs. Yes.
Back in the day.
Yeah, that was a
fantastic.
We took LaMarcus Aldridge from you.
I had such a hard time trying to decide what the title should be for that drama.
No, disgust is proper. That's the right thing. You assign the right title.
Dirt, disgust, sigh is solid. Yeah. I do have a couple of college football things to get to in my notes as well today. We have over-unders out for Big Ten and SEC teams. love a good over-under.
This is right in your sweet spot of life.
Do you like the over or do you like the under, huh? Play it now. I actually thought it'd be fun. I'm going to throw them at you at some point this hour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write them down on my show sheet. Your favorite over and your favorite under.
Okay.
And I'm going to follow them
away.
Are
you doing the whole conference?
No. You just pick one from the Big Ten, one from the SEC.
Okay.
Favorite over, favorite under. So four total teams.
Where did you see the article? Let me find it.
On three had the tweet that just had the graphic with the Big Ten and the SEC. So I'll get to those here in a moment. I'll let you guys do your research. But I saw this yesterday. Whenever one of these pops up, it just is an immediate dude, we got to pull that and play that.
Yeah.
So the World Cup has been entertaining. I've been watching far. This is the most soccer I've watched in my entire life, and it's not even close. Not even, even at other World Cups, when it's in another country and it's on at, weird times of the day because you're playing in Qatar or Qatar. I just, you watch the USA games, keep
it's
an eye on it.
It's in a sweet spot for us.
Right?
There's
this
no
is
doubt.
Perfect. You get home,
kids taking a nap and get what's on TV. Oh, look at that. It's, okay, that's watching England-Croatia. Let's
There's
do it.
Stakes, you know, matters.
So the crowds have been great. The atmospheres have been great. And the fans traveling around the United States have been solid. We have not. We've heard from French fans. We had our French guy.
God bless the beaver.
We heard our, where's our Japanese guy? I don't know where our Japanese guy went, but we had a Japanese guy who didn't know how to speak a lot of English.
Oh, the English guy, yeah.
That was solid. Can I enter into the chat? May I up you?
Yeah.
Up the ante. Are you ready for the Englishman?
I'm always ready. The Englishmen were delightful. There was a guy who should have pulled the audio, and he was like, it's too bad the Cowboys can't win.
He took a shot.
That's a little more
Cowboys.
Aussie than it was English, but yeah. He basically was making fun of the Cowboys because they were in Arlington, said they love the stadium. He's like, too bad the Cowboys can't win like the English.
So this is before the game. It's from Fox 4 in Dallas. They were popping around bar to bar around the area interviewing fans as they're getting ready to go into the game. And I heard this one, and I thought, you know what? That's pretty solid. Enjoy. English soccer fan getting ready to watch a little footy in Dallas, Texas.
Hi. I love this beer in this country, by the way. It's really good.
You like the beer in this country, Ari?
Hospitality has been amazing as well.
Really? Have you had any Texas barbecue yet?
I had Texas barbecue yesterday. I had a lovely bit of brisket.
Tell me about it. What was your experience? Is it what you expected?
I went fatties. Do you go fatty or
yeah,
lean?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I went fatty. I went to Slow Bone, okay. Picked it up, put the sauce on it, dropped it in the mouth, melted in my mouth. It was absolutely beautiful. It's the best beef I've had in my life.
Really? Yeah. We love to hear that. Did you try any of the other fixins with it or no?
I had a pork chop. I had some pork ribs.
Okay.
I had mac and cheese. The mac and cheese was average though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And the other thing is, what's this Brussels sprouts grattin about? We have Brussels sprouts at Christmas in England. Why do you have it on your barbecue? I don't know.
I don't know. There's so many questions here. Yeah. Tell me what you're doing today. You're heading into Texas Live right now. What's the plan ahead of the match?
We're going to get drunk before the game. We're going to get drunk during the game. And then we're going to get drunk after the game. But all that matters is England wins today.
Got hammered. Yeah. England won 4-2.
Dude, that's a hell of a Wednesday right there. You had some nice Texas brisket. It melted in your mouth. And you got drunk before, during, and after the
game.
And you got to win. That's
can we share
right
an
there.
Honesty here as Americans?
Yes, feel
who's
free.
Hearing other people eat our barbecue and enjoy it?
I thought that was a pretty fair assessment for barbecue food. The mac and cheese can often be overrated.
The mac and cheese at so many places
it's
is
an overrated
so
dish.
Overrated.
Yes.
And everybody gets excited about it for the obvious reason. It's mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese.
Dude, usually if I get mac and cheese, and I've had some really good barbecue.
Yes.
I've had it in Oklahoma. I've had it in Texas. I've had it here. We're going to have it at the Van Gogh Classic.
Barbecue next Tuesday. Can't wait.
I tend to find myself, the mac and cheese is not something I either even want to try.
No.
Or, two bites, I'm good. I know what this is. It is not good. I'll take the brisket. I'll take everything. Give me multiple slices of cornbread.
Yes, without a doubt.
The mac and cheese, it's just never as good as you think it's going
to
be.
I think it's a really fair assessment. The Brussels sprouts thing is funny to me, too. I mean, you got to have some sort of veggie, I guess, on your dish. But
sure.
You could also just order nothing but meat, and I'd be
baked
happy.
Baked beans, cornbread, yeah. Sausage,
I'd take collard greens over
the
Brussels sprouts,
yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Just at a barbecue place. I'm with you. That was actually one of the takeaways I had from it, too, when I heard that yesterday, other than the get drunk during and before and after the game. I feel like barbecue joint mac and cheese is a D plus at best everywhere I go.
And
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't
because I love going to barbecue places. There are barbecue places I go to frequently. I don't like their mac and cheese.
Yes.
And you learn the first time because you're looking at the sides. You always get like your choice of like, do you want fries? Do you want, you know, what are the side options usually at a barbecue place? Every time I go for the first time, I order mac and cheese, and then every time I say, I'm not doing that again.
Well, people are going to text in now places where they have had mac and cheese, and I'm not saying they don't exist, but I'm also going to counter and say, I don't even know if this is exempt to barbecue. How often do you get mac and cheese at a restaurant, and you're happy with it?
That's a good question. There's a place in our neighborhood that just is a mac and cheese place that's pretty solid, and you can get, like, different, you know, there's like a, you know...
You give me like a spicy
hot,
jalapeno
spicy
mac and
one.
Cheese. I'm trying.
It's like
it.
A pesto mac and cheese.
Now, is it like a creamier mac and cheese?
The creamier mac and cheese.
See, I think the
bigger, like corkscrew noodle kind of thing.
The baked mac and cheese tends to be one that I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
The top is like the cheese is too like, I don't know, it's not good.
I don't want it crunchy. I want it to be smooth.
I want it creamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cream.
Give me some more cream in my life.
Give me more cream.
So shout out to the England fans. They got a win yesterday. The atmosphere was insane. That was a really fun game.
Harry Kane delivered, too.
Harry Kane. So World Cup continues to deliver. We get USA, by the way, tomorrow. We'll be golfing during the game, but I'll be checking out on the phone.
I don't want to read it, but there's also things going around that Aussies are telling Americans what their chants are going to be.
What the Aussies are going to chant to us during
what
the game?
What they're chanting, before walking into the game, and a couple of them are shots at political people.
I did see
and
the,
I don't know if that's real or not real.
I mean, fire away, dude. Good for you, Australia.
I do find they're kind of cocky sniffing coming into this thing.
Be careful, Australia.
Hard to hate the Aussies.
It absolutely is.
If they beat us.
You got a Foster's? Can I have a Foster's?
Australian for beer.
I did see somebody bring this up. This might be a dumb non-soccer thing because I'm not a big soccer guy, but I am watching a lot of soccer right now.
They're parading around the cup trophy.
Who is?
The Knicks,
yeah.
They've got the Eastern Conference
trophy. They have the NBA Cup trophy.
The NBA Cup trophy.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. Are they the first ever to win the cup and the title?
Yeah.
First cup title combo?
Yeah, the Pacers almost did it.
Ooh. I actually have a snafu I'm going to get to in a moment from the parade because they did something hilarious today that people are livid about. So I'll explain in one moment.
What would your parade outfit be?
If I were a player or a fan?
If you're a player. I'm going J.R. Smith. I am high as a kite and shirtless, and I'm walking around.
Looks
and
like it's a little chilly in New York today. It looks a little overcast.
I don't know. Mikal Bridges is in a jersey.
Is he just wearing a jersey?
He's just in a jersey with a camcorder.
He's kind of my spirit animal. He showed up. It sounds like is he not married, Mikal Bridges?
I don't know if he's
because he just showed up with his dog.
His best friend.
It's like the Ryder Cup picture years ago with Victor Hovland and Ricky Fowler. Weren't they like the two single? Everybody's like making out with their wife, and Ricky Fowler's like in the background all by himself prior to his dating days.
He is not married. Okay. He did an IG live, by the way, after they won, and he was clearly drunk or something.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
And he was like, Build JB that statue and big ass head. He just started calling out.
Taking some unsolicited shots.
Danny wasn't wrong in the exchange the other day when he said they're going to feast off this the way the Celtics did.
Oh, without a doubt.
I would argue yes, but bigger.
Yes, it's New York. New York's bigger
and
than Boston.
Will Cat in 15 years say something about our Blazer team when he's out of the league that I'm going to hate and roast him for? Probably, but let me just say this now in the moment. Can't fault him at all. I'd live off that title for the rest of my life.
That you are a king for the rest of your life in New York, and I would do the exact same thing. Somebody brought up the other day on the USA soccer front that we don't have. I feel like everybody has like a cool tradition and a cool song.
What's ours?
And we don't really have one. Like the Norway thing the other day, I had never seen their row before.
Did you see them go up the escalator?
Dude, yes, I saw them go up the escalator. The stadium shot of them rowing before the game was one of the most badass things I've ever seen.
So cool.
Plus, England was singing Wonderwall after the game. Yeah. I don't know if that's their every game thing or whatever, but that was awesome.
It's really cool when you got a player like Holland on Norway's team. So they're going to the game, and the Norway fans, they've got their Viking hats on. They got their jerseys on. They line up on the escalator going up, and people are noting that as they're going up, they're doing the row sitting down on the escalator.
It's so bad.
So it actually, from an angle, looks like they're rowing themselves up
the escalator.
Yeah.
We need something. We have, like, I Believe That We Can Win. Isn't that our song? Which is, you know, we don't do that a lot.
What song would you want us to have?
I don't know. That's a good open-ended question
for
listeners.
Like, if Wonderwall is England's song.
Which makes a lot of sense. It's Oasis.
We can't do
No.
What is that even?
What is the most Americana song that we have? Now, I think of Take Me Home, Country Roads.
That's a good one. And we had the Scots singing it.
Yeah, they were singing it
They were singing it at the bars in Boston.
Yeah. No, if we choose Sweet Caroline, I boycott. I'm never going to watch American soccer
unfortunately,
again.
I hate to tell you, but that might be. It might be in the running.
You can't really sing along to Born in the USA.
Why?
I mean, you can, but it's not the catchiest of, like, crowd sing-along songs. Born in the USA.
Why can't we?
That's not as good as Take Me Home, Country Roads. Nowhere close.
What about Mama Rolling That Body?
Remix to Ignition.
I mean,
if we turn Remix into Ignition to our song,
toot toot, beep, beep.
Run it or I mean, we would all want to have it. Who
run it or hands through my throat?
Are you bouncing on 24s?
I mean, I wish I was, man.
Brandon, you bouncing on 24s? Oh. It's a jam. It's an old timer. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. We need to come up with something.
We
What's
need
the
something. I'm with you there because it makes me incredibly jealous to see these countries come here. Take part in our culture,
yes,
our restaurants, our gluttonous nature, and then also still incorporate their own ways of doing things.
Without a doubt. It's been fun to watch. Let's get a song out of it. People texting in about Montage's mac and cheese, by the way.
I knew Montage was going to text in. I'm with you there.
Montage is fantastic.
Look, and you, the mac and cheese place by your house. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying if you went to a staple restaurant, not pasta or mac and cheese based.
Yeah.
Do you order the mac and cheese? I literally ate at a pasta place last night. Nobody got the mac and cheese.
Nobody ordered the mac and cheese.
No.
I also, and maybe this is going to be something people laugh at, but go ahead, laugh away. I don't care. It might be the nostalgia of it. It might be the Home Alone in me. Like a good, creamy Kraft mac and cheese, or whatever your go-to brand is at home, delivers 10 times out of 10 for me. Now, if you're a Velveeta guy, you do your Velveeta. If you're an Annie's guy, you do your Annie's.
I'm a Velveeta Shells guy.
And that's fine. But when you make it at home, it hits every time, right? Because that's your go-to mac and cheese.
You've
been eating it since you were five.
I don't eat it anymore, but my daughter will have it once in a while because, you know, you get your lazy days.
Yes.
I'm not going to pretend that I don't put that in a bowl and then the last bite is mine.
As you're making it and you're stirring it, you're not just taking a couple of scoops along the way.
Now, what is that cheese? I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't know what that cheese is made of, what the percentage of real cheese is in it.
Yep.
But it hits.
We don't have enough time for over-unders here, so I'm going to get to something funny that happened today. The Knicks are getting celebrated in New York City, big-time parade. How about this air from City Hall? So on their City Hall building, the parade is, I'm assuming, going through in front of it. It's on the somewhere on the route. They have a big, basically, think of like a retired jersey in an arena. They put one up for every player on the Knicks. So like Jeremy Sochan, 20, Alvarado, 5. I mean, every player, right? Every player on the team is going to get one on the front of the City Hall building.
Yep.
This is where it gets funny. I have never heard of Dylan Jones before, but evidently Dylan Jones is an NBA player.
Okay.
Dylan Jones was on the Summer League roster, I believe, for the Knicks, and then showed up and was cut right before opening night.
Mm.
He didn't, for the Knicks, he wore number one. Okay. Number one. 2 years ago in Summer League for the Washington Wizards, he wore number 33. For some reason, they decided to hang a Dylan Jones jersey thing with all of the other players, even though he did not play a minute for the Knicks tonight. And do you know what number they gave him? 33. For a brief moment, you're going to go, wait a minute.
You are correct.
33 is Patrick Ewing. And 33 is retired by the New York Knicks.
Oh, no.
And so in between Jose Alvarado, 5, and Jeremy Sochan, 20,
there's a
Dylan Jones number 33 jersey that looks like it's, you know, hung in the rafters, and he didn't play a second for the New York Knicks. And everybody's like, how?
Okay, so you've brought me.
How could you make this mistake?
You brought me to something that I forgot to put on my show sheet.
Yeah.
And we're already against it, but I have to ask you. Karl-Anthony Towns was asked about winning the title and celebrating with the former Knicks. And he goes, just the look on Pat's face, Patrick Ewing.
Yes.
Was, it meant everything. He's been so great with us. He comes to practice, right? He coached. He's been around. He supports. He was happy for us. And he goes, I can't really explain it. I know he didn't play, but in a way it looked like a burden was lifted off his shoulders. And I don't know why, but I started thinking like,
you poo-pooing it a little bit?
No, I'm not poo-pooing him being happy for him. I just like, if you're Patrick Ewing and you got close, but you couldn't.
Went to two.
Got, well, yeah, but you didn't really spearhead the second. That was kind of done almost.
That's fair. You were on the team, but yeah, you were the focal point of the Houston series and you
lost.
The
Houston series, you were in game 7. You came close. You almost beat Jordan a couple times. Starks goes cold, right?
But 99 out of nowhere, but you played in two of them.
It's an odd thing because I'm not refuting that he wasn't happy again, but like
it's a difference. You didn't win it. Yeah, I mean he's probably going to get an honorary ring out of it. I'd imagine because he's been.
How would you feel about that? If you were conflicted about Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl,
this is a very dirt take of you. Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering how do you have to? You'd be very
conflicted. You'd be very conflicted if you came close and you always dreamed about being the guy. To be the first since Willis Reed. Like, when you're Patrick Ewing, you're probably thinking that your entire career.
It holds back your legacy because you didn't win that thing.
Yes, and you get lost in game 7 at
home.
And
now they're going to give you a like a celebratory congratulations ring at all time, Nick. Here's a title ring that you
I think
didn't
it's
play
a,
for.
It's a fair take. It's a great take, and it would
I don't
be
know if it's a take.
I think it is. It's a very this idea that it's like he's got to be so happy, dude. It's incredibly conflicting. Incredibly.
Well, I think he is happy about for this. Them.
Yeah, of course you are, but you're also...
But he's not happy as if he won the title.
No, you didn't win the title.
But he is a miss. He's a big Nick guy.
I've thought about this with Bonds over the years, because he obviously got to one World Series, one of the greatest players of all time.
And he had a great World Series.
Did not have a great reputation outside of that year for being a good postseason player. And then the Giants, what, 4 years? I think his last year was 2006, maybe 2007, somewhere in that range. 3 years later after he retires, they start a dynasty. They win three titles in 5 years. And he was at all the games.
Does he get one?
I'm assuming they gave him a ring. I don't know if they did or not, but I remember him being around a lot.
Like, how does Marcus Mariota feel if the Ducks win the title next year and he supports and he's there?
See,
and
I view college, I view a little bit differently because it's such a limited amount of time. Like, it's only it's not a full career. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, you got a 3-year window or 2 years of playing and you didn't get it done. I think you view it a little bit different. But if you're at a team, like, how many years did Ewing play for the Knicks? I mean, I know he had his Orlando and Seattle season there at the end, but it's got to be at least 15 years, right? They came in the mid-80s all the way to the early 2000s.
Yeah, he got there in 85. And he was out of there after that 99-2000 season.
Oh, that was his last year. So 15 years then?
Yeah, so he made the 98-90. Yeah, in 98-99, he played 38 of 50 games.
Yeah.
His numbers were down pretty significantly. Like, they got to that finals almost... without needing him to be much.
Yeah, definitely conflicting. You're happy for the guys, but you would lay awake thinking at night, like, God, why couldn't that have been me? I was game seven. Give me another do-over. Give me one more chance at Hakeem in Houston.
Yeah.
And OJ going on a run in his Bronco. We will get to Steve Pfeiffer coming up. We got over-unders in college football back after this 105.1.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
On FM The Fan. That's a fitting song for our guest. Probably his ringtone. What do we think? You think this is ringtone?
Absolutely.
Right? You think he's getting down?
It's right there in his wheelhouse.
First concert, best concert. Backstreet Boys, Backstreet Boys.
I'm just glad he's on. I felt like my last time talking to him,
things
he was
got
really
content. Okay, well, let's see here. Let's hash it out. Steve Pfeiffer joining us now. Our great friend from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. What can we be talking about with Steve Pfeiffer from Milwaukee?
Brewers baseball.
That's it. Yeah. Miz, that's what we want to talk about. At Sparky Radio on Twitter. Steve, good morning to you. Do you have beef with my co-host?
No, but your producer, I asked him, I was like, you know, how are these guys to work for? That's what I asked him when he called me just now. He said, that's tolerable. Now, this is the thing. Like, maybe we should be, like, getting this dude some breakfast, you know, once a week. Or, you know, maybe washing his car for him and taking care of you. Because without a good producer, your show probably would not be as good.
You're not
wrong
there.
It's a fair question to ask, but our actual real-time, full-time producer just left to Europe for 2 weeks. And so our beloved Brandon's filling in. Our other producer's living a great life.
SOB's drinking, some cocktail on the coast of Naples right now.
He's on a sailboat in Europe.
Bastard.
So your producer is making more money than you are.
Yeah. That's why we don't treat him well. That's why he should buy me breakfast, Pfeiffer. Come on. Yes.
Not good.
Hey, the bumper music y'all brought up there, a little boy band, Backstreet Boys, what concert? Mine would be, and it's very fitting, you really could have just hit a home run on this one since you're bringing me on to talk about Giannis. You should have played End of the Road by Boyz II Men, and you would have hit it right on the head.
Yes, yes. So we went through this, Steve, a couple years ago. Now, you guys ironically ended up being the landing spot when we went through the Damian Lillard trade saga and is he going to get moved? And, hey, Miami really wants him, and he really wants Miami. But breaking news, Miami's package sucks.
Hey, Steve, take Miami's package. It sucks, but you need to take
it. So welcome to the world that we lived in a couple of years ago. I imagine everybody's done with it there, and the fans have kind of mentally moved on. Just what's the show been like? What's the fan feeling about Giannis in this never-ending saga?
Retired and beat down. I think that would be the best way to do it. I don't know. I mean, there are some people, like our morning show host, like has a man crush on Giannis and has forever. So he's holding out hope that he still stays and they don't trade him and all of that stuff. But again, I mean, we've been going through this now for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it's been about the national media continuously trying to get him out of here and go somewhere else. The Bucks Oh, well, is he going to sign the extension or not? Okay, let's see. Here's Bledsoe. Let's see what happens. Okay, is he going to sign him or not? Here's Holiday. Okay, is he going to sign or not? Here's Lillard. And now here we are again, leading up to another opportunity. Is he going to sign or not? Is he sign the extension, you know, in October going into his last year of free agency? The problem is the Bucks have some assets, but they don't have a ton of assets to where they can really go and get him two superstar players to play around him to make him happy going forward. Then you have the other issue of, does he even want to be, you know, here, or does he want to go somewhere with warmer weather? Does he want to go somewhere where, you know, he thinks he has a better chance to win a championship somewhere else? But at the same point, everybody keeps bringing up the injured history, which to me, a lot of people are saying, well, that's not true. And then they go and they look at his games played. Well, that's fine. But since they went to the championship and won that year, in which he, by the way, was hurt with a hyperextension and missed games in the playoffs, and they won despite that and beat the Suns, and he had a big game at the end, 50-point game. But he was hurt in that series. They won despite him. The next year, Chris Middleton, he got hurt in the series against the Celtics, and Giannis was healthy. Every year after that, he was out at some point in the playoffs with an injury, up until this last year, and then Lillard was hurt both years, and Lillard wasn't able to play either, and that was the end of it. So you say it's bad luck or whatever the case may be, they should have, in my opinion, more than one finals appearance considering how long they had Giannis.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to get your thoughts on it because we joke with you, but we really went through it when Dame was doing the trade stuff and the team was in a weird spot, and it was clearly over. It really was like, you take this Miami package and you like it. And it was like one pick and a bunch of dudes that wasn't going to do a whole lot for you. And I thought eventually that's what it would do. It would be, because we see this all the time with star players. They usually go where they want to go. And RGM, to his credit, he did not do it. He got some stuff from you guys, shipped Dame off, and then flipped that and got more stuff. And now here we are. What of the trade rumor package stuff do you, as somebody covering the Bucks, talking about the Bucks, what does interest you? I know we give each other a hard time, but we got all the pick stuff. We got some young prospects. I'm curious where Portland ranks among some of the stuff that you've seen thrown out there for Giannis.
If we're being honest, and I don't know what the reaction was originally when the Lillard happened with Milwaukee, and I keep saying this in my afternoon show, most of us are going to be upset no matter what this deal is, because the odds of getting enough in return for the best player in franchise history, enough in return for the guy that won you the only championship you've seen since you've been alive as a Bucks fan, you're not going to get it. Nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, boy, they did great on that deal. Like, it's just, it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. And then it's going to be, okay, well, now let's see if we go into a tailspin for the next 20 years. You know, and figure it out and get back. I mean, it wasn't like Giannis was the top three pick and they knew what they had. The man was, what, pick 14 or whatever it was raw, had no idea if he turned out to be anything. And because he worked his tail end off, and because Jason Kidd had the vision of letting him handle the ball and do that, and then building the relationships that he made with Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant to establish the mentality that he had, and then hooking him up with John Stockton to talk more about being the point guard. And like all these things that Kidd did prior to getting canned really helped shape Giannis and build Giannis to, you know, kind of what he became. And then Mike Budenholzer kind of took him the rest of the way. So, you know, watching all of that, he learned how to drive a car here and all of that. He took a limo to a Walmart and was like so excited about everything having to do with having a slushie for the first time. Like, there's so many things. You literally watch the guy grow up. So, you know, you could tell me, okay, Sparky, you're getting five picks and you're getting these three or four young players and yay, congratulations. You got like eight players for him. And a majority of the fans would be like, yes, so what? Mm-hmm. Now, for me, the Miami package that you keep talking about. Okay, first of all, Tyler Hero is from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I would say most people around here do not want him on the Bucks at all. Have no interest. We don't want
him. We felt the same about 4 years ago.
literally, he grew up like blocks from where I broadcast every day. Like literally in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him. So that's number one. Number two, Khalil Ware is another guy in that package. Okay. But literally was out of the rotation at points last year with Spoelstra.
Yep.
So that's never a good sign to me as far as whether it's work ethic, whether it's not knowing what he's supposed to be doing or whatever. There's clearly a reason why Spoelstra pulled him out. So that's a big red flag for me. And then we talk about the picks. Okay, well, 13 is nice, I guess, in the draft. But if we're being honest,
like this is a top four draft, and then there's a drop off, and then there's probably like four more players, and then there's another significant drop off. And then after that, you're talking about potential starter rotational guys, but probably not superstars after that. So for me, dream scenario, I would love top three, top four pick. You know, get the Bulls pick at four if they somehow get involved, or get three or something like that. Or maybe you get five and maybe you get lucky and Peterson falls or something crazy happens. That makes sense. Because I mean, they're sitting here at 10 with Amon from Tennessee. And again, another guy that nobody here wants. And that's the guy that everybody keeps mocking to the Bucks, and nobody sold that guy's going to be anything. So I feel like this fan base is just going to be sad and angry regardless of what happens here at the end of the day. And I said it yesterday on the show. I was like, guys, look, they may be horrible for the next 2 or 3 years, but part of this trade package may be a pick in 2032 or 2031 or whatever it is, and that might be a superstar. And between now and then, it's going to be like, what a horrible deal. They fire the general manager and the world's ending. And then on the last pick of this package, they hit. And then all of a sudden, the trades looked at completely different because they get a superstar at the end of it. So they're really not going to know if they did right or wrong in this trade package probably until, like, I don't know, 2035, 2036, like 10 years from now. You know, you may know how you did on this deal.
Yeah, it's totally fair because we feel the same way the Lillard trade. Like, we got all these pick swaps with Milwaukee and I think one outright first. And then there's the idea of, well, now we've changed the lottery odds. So are they more valuable or less valuable? I don't know. And we don't even know, like, do those turn into, are we just drafting players? Are they a part of a trade? We still have no idea what that looks like. But we got, hey, all this cool ammunition. Last one for you for me, because we're a little against it. But I'm curious, one of the random reports thrown out, not random, but one of the things we heard a little buzz about is the idea of a Giannis to Boston, Jaylen Brown being a part of that deal. And it's an interesting scenario because it makes sense from Boston's angle, I guess. Brown a little, wants a bigger role or to be a number one guy. Giannis has a chance to win in Boston. If that were to be the case, one, what do you think the odds of something like that happening? And then two, do you think Milwaukee would be better served holding on to Brown and just saying, dude, he's a good player. He just led the Celtics to the 2 seed in the East. Let's build around this guy. Or the idea that you're bringing up of now we flip that for X amount of draft picks to whatever market or team is willing to give us the draft capital we want.
My understanding is they don't want Brown. My understanding is that that would be a 3 or 4 team trade. Brown would go somewhere else. And then there was a report yesterday from Mark Spears 2 days ago saying Brown does not want to play in Milwaukee either. So. Yeah. No problem there. So he would go somewhere else, and then the Bucks essentially would take probably first-round picks or whatever from Boston as part of that package, or a first-round pick, and then a player maybe from Boston, and then maybe you get picks and multiple players from another team in a 3 or 4 team scenario. That's really how the Bucks are probably going to make it work the best. If it's team for team, you know, two-team deal, nobody's probably going to come in better than Miami. If we're being honest, more than likely. But if we're taking a 3 or 4 team trade, which I think is probably how this is going to work, now the Bucks can really stack up players and picks better than they can if it's just a 2-team trade at that point, and, you know, see what happens. But as you brought up with the Lillard trade, remember, John Horst told your GM pretty much, okay, you're going to shut up and not say anything, because if you do, I'm not doing this deal. I don't want anybody on my team knowing we're doing it. So who knows what our GM is doing right now? Because that deal came out of nowhere. Nobody saw the Bucks signing Miles Turner. Nobody saw the stretch and wave of Lillard. Like, all of that came out of nowhere. So all this reporting is going on is great. But really, at the end of the day, I don't think really anybody knows what this dude is doing.
Yeah. Yes or no, because, again, we're super against it. Actually, we're over the clock at this point. You expect Portland to be a part of the Giannis trade, given the history of being a trade partner and the pick swap stuff?
No.
Okay.
All right.
No, I would say no, but I think Miz wins Cy Young.
All right. Steve Pfeiffer, friend of the program, big Backstreet Boy fan. Just kidding. He's not a Backstreet Boy fan, but we love
him.
Boys to men. Yeah. We've squashed
this
the beef.
Is the end of the road.
Between you and Sparky, the beef has been squashed.
Yeah,
at Sparky Radio on Twitter. Go give him a follow. We always love chatting with you. Have a great show today, and I'm sure we'll be in touch again soon.
I think I may go buy y'all a couple Brewers hats. I might, and just ship them out to y'all.
I'm not mad at that. I'm a fan of the Miz.
I'm not mad at that.
Get it done in October this year, Sparky. This is the year, baby.
I think I might do it. All right.
Okay. There you go. Steve Pfeiffer from Milwaukee and his take on Giannis. Let's react to it a little bit on the other side. I got some over-unders in college football. We got the magic hat coming up at the top of the hour. Lots still to get to back after this 105.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
1FM The Fam. What percentage of the U.S. population was created of this song? At least a quarter of a percent, right? I mean, I don't know how many that would be, but...
She can't stop it from coming.
Oh, not when Boyz II Men's on.
I cannot speak English, but...
Great producing from Brandon right there.
Fantastic.
I used to wake up and turn on, like, MTV or VH1 in the mornings, uh-huh, just to have music. And
yes, you're getting ready for school.
Yeah, and like, videos would be showing. And yeah. I can't tell you how many mornings at, like, 6:45 I would sing songs like this in the bathroom. My mom would be like, what are you doing?
And what I'm are
like,
you singing in
pretending
there?
Pretending I'm an R&B artist. It's my dream.
Are you going to be the high? What do they call the high voice?
I don't know what
they
call
them. Are you
guys
musically, because there's like the tenor. Is it the tenor is the high one?
I have no clue.
Soprano, I believe.
The soprano, thank you.
Then alto, then tenor, then bass.
What's okay. The guy that does the like the extended... That's what I was doing. I'd butter toast and I would just be like... You put your hand next to your ear like you got headphones on.
Like you're recording recording your album. By the way, we got Magic Act coming up top of the hour. I am sensing the theme of the day being that, you know, it's going into a 3-day weekend for a lot of folks because we're getting texts coming in from conversations from an hour ago. So thank you for hopping on. This.
Hey, man, we whenever appreciate you listen, whenever you catch the show.
I don't blame you at all, man. If I could have slept in today, I would have too.
Yeah.
Some song choices for our soccer team in the World Cup.
Okay, let's hear them.
Party in the USA has been sent in a number of times.
Now, this is an interesting one.
That was my first thought.
That was your first thought, really? Okay.
People at Oregon State, it's a polarizing topic, that party in the USA. Because for a brief minute, and yes, maybe they still do it. I haven't been to a game in a couple years. They were playing that as their third quarter end of the thing song.
Was that before?
And then it became like,
no, not in football game. Captain Mighty Shirish.
Was it before or after raising the loaf?
It was during.
Dear, so you raised the loaf while partying in the USA.
Raising the loaf was a moment in time. It wasn't like some 10-year run. I'll never forget looking up at the Jumbotron and like a bread.
Whoever did that, well, they were fired, right?
I hope so.
Whoever's idea that
half
was.
Half the people they showed didn't understand what they were supposed to do. They were what? Like, they showed bread above their head.
You're like miming.
And they'd show like an older lady.
I'm stuck on a glass box.
And she'd be looking up like she's getting crapped on by a bird. And then you'd hear the overhead guy, you gotta raise the loaf.
Put your hands over your head and raise the loaf.
And then they'd show another old guy. They'd put the loaf over his head and he'd bat it away like it's a fly.
Get out of here.
Get away from me.
Get out.
Nobody wants bread right now.
I don't want wheat.
Score a touchdown.
Where's your sourdough?
We're 2-10.
But that people who I can envision the fan in my mind who is complaining about that song playing at a football game. I know what they look like.
Central cast.
I know what their beliefs are. I know what they do on the weekends.
I don't know if you know their beliefs.
I know their beliefs. I know their beliefs. God forbid we have a sing-along song and have a
don't
little fun.
Don't you say
don't
God.
You dare.
Don't say God.
And my apologies there. We Oregon fan goes through this with the Matt Kearney song, the Coming Home song. There's a chunk of the fan base that hates that they play that song at the end of the first quarter because it's not lively and upbeat enough.
The problem is you have one of the best fourth quarter transitions.
But they go through this with the Kearney one. There's a chunk of the fan base that can't stand that they do that at all.
That's
at the
fine
end of the first quarter.
To have that opinion.
I love that song. I think it's great that there's somebody who wrote a song and there's highlight clips in there. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to give a thought on Matt. Is it Kearney or Kearney?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I'm not going to give any thoughts on the Kearney song.
You can go either way.
What I'll say is I think some of that backlash is more aimed at we already have a song and a tradition. You can't have two songs and two traditions in one game.
Mm.
You're overloading.
Too many traditions.
You already have the highlight reel, the motorcycle entrance, the Joker and the Thief kickoff.
Yeah.
And then you got the third quarter shout. Adding another thing, I think, is more people just going, all right, not every timeout needs to have like a tradition. Not every break in the action needs to have tradition.
We got Welcome to the Jungle.
That's a good one.
Yeah, would you like Welcome to the Jungle?
Welcome to the jungle! I don't know the words!
I don't know anything else in that song.
American Pie? Bye, bye, Miss America. That would not.
Put the Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry?
Now, here's the one thing I will say.
I don't know about that one.
In my head, that sounds slow and lethargic, but England does Wonderwall. Say maybe.
Yeah, but when you do it together, you sing it with a smile.
That saves me.
Saves me.
Like, it's not.
But now we're swinging.
So would American Pie work in that regard?
I guess it could work, yeah.
You could go that way.
I mean, look, anything really can work. It has to just more be about, are we all in on it?
Yeah, everybody's got to be on
board.
You
don't want to be the person or the people that aren't participating.
I think party in the USA is that's a good leader in the clubhouse right now. That's number one on my big board.
I mean, it's one of those songs that have, like, dance instructions. You can literally hands up, butterfly fly away.
Well, and I hate to say this.
Shaking my hips. Like, it's.
I suggest it's right there for you in the lyrics on what to do.
I suggested the remix to Ignition. Somebody suggested Toby Keith, American Way. I think we can't do rap or country.
Oh, rap and country
are out? It has to be a more universal pop culture middle ground. Like, what is Miley Cyrus's genre for Party in the USA? Is that pop?
That's pop.
Pop. Okay, but like, it also has been blasted so much that you can hate pop, like pop, love pop. You've heard that song. And it's pretty straightforward. How do you not know the words to it?
Everybody should know the words to that.
So you've got your hands up.
I will admit, we're going to play golf tomorrow. And I have my golf Party in the USA is in a lot of my playlists.
I'm not mad at it.
It's a jam.
I liked it when they played at Oregon State Games.
It comes on, makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you doing when you listen to that song?
Don't worry about it.
Fantastic.
I'll punt over-under. We'll punt over-unders. Final hour. Punt it to the final hour.
What are you punting?
Over-unders.
Oh.
Okay. By the way, U.S. Open leaderboard?
Yeah.
Looking pretty juicy early
on.
Is
it tasty?
It's looking pretty tasty. At last check...
I'm glad Cam Young's not in the leader.
You don't want Cam Young to win?
I'm not a Cam Young.
You're anti Cam Young, huh? You don't like the pause in his swing? Hold it.
It's not his game. He's got a great game.
On his fingers bothers you?
No. I've said this before, but he strikes me as just the dad who's drunk and screams at his children and goes,
there's
to
that
the
vibe, yeah. It's the beard. The beard vibe definitely does
I'm
not
happen.
I'm
building an airplane down here.
Oberg is your leader right now at 2-under, but you got Sam Burns, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Patty Reed, Fatty Patty. All at 1-under par. So you got a handful of guys. Ricky Fowler's in the mix, wearing all white today. What are you telling us there, Ricky? So decent leaderboard earlier. We'll give you an update on that in the final hour. Let's go to the Magic Hat, though, to kick off the final hour next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.